Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Joining us on the line is wealth management specialist at Greengrass Wealth Management, Liron Mazor. I wanted to ask him how to financially prepare for a very unpredictable year. Liron Mazor, awesome to speak to you. How are you?
Thank God. How's it, Howard? How are you?
I am very well, thank you. So I don't think it's much of a secret, but you were an early adapter, weren't you? You got COVID during the first wave.
Yeah, I was one of the first ones. I actually spent 3 weeks in ICU and then 110 days on oxygen. Thank God I'm now a lot better.
110 days on oxygen?
110 days. I actually held the record until somebody beat me on 120 days.
Well, I don't know.
I wasn't prepared to go through it again, but I thought, geez.
I don't know if that's a record that one wants to hold, but wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a lot of days.
Yeah, so it's actually, I'm really so grateful that you brought that up because I'm going to introduce some of the ideas of what I was able to achieve last year in terms of what people can accomplish during 2021. And I'm so grateful that you brought up the fact that I had the COVID because even with COVID, I was still able to achieve an untold fortune. And we're going to go through some of those main points that we developed.
Right.
But I'm in your hands about how you want to start.
No, so go for it. So tell, you know, the more... We love to hear stories and we love to hear about people's experiences and we all identify with what other people are going through. So take us through your experience and take us through how, despite that, you did manage to achieve. It's fascinating.
Okay, brilliant. So thanks, Howard. I'm going to actually start off right at the beginning with your question. Is how do we plan for an uncertain future, specifically this year? And from that perspective, I looked at it from three different perspectives. I said, right, what practical steps could we follow? What spiritual steps could we follow? And what metaphysical steps could we follow? So if we start off on the practical side, I think more than anything else, you need to make sure that you've got a 6-month reserve account. Now that means that you've got enough money in reserve that if anything happens to you, should you lose your job, should you not be able to work for whatever reason, that you're definitely able to cover 6 months worth of living expenses. Now, as part of my experience, I'm very grateful that I had an income protector, and my income protector actually covered me while I was in hospital, and then for another 2 months after that while I was still on oxygen. But you never know what's waiting for you around the corner. And when you've got a bit of cash and you've got something that's there to give you a bit of backup, you feel a lot more relaxed in life. And at the same time, if something, God forbid, does happen, you know where you're able to get the resources to cover yourself during that period. So that's our practical step. If we look from a spiritual step, what's so important is to focus on gratitude. So gratitude is, we often look in our lives and we'll think, geez, you know, life is tough, life is hard, but we've got to we often forget to focus on what we really have in life. And there actually is an untold fortune. And our health is one of them. And I can attest to that because when I was in ICU, the problem was we got to a period right in the beginning that we weren't sure whether I was going to unfortunately die. And my doctor was too scared to call my wife because it was the first most severe case of COVID that they had, the COVID pneumonia in Lingsfield Hospital. And my doctor, Karen Zinman, I'm really phenomenal, was really concerned because she said the problem was is that when I came into hospital, my oxygen saturation levels were at 45%.
Oh, my word. Oh, my word.
Yeah, so the average person, you should be sitting at about 90%. The minute you fall below 90%, doctors start to panic.
Right.
So you can imagine how nervous they were with me when I'm coming in at 45%. They put me onto oxygen, and that didn't really move anything, so they then put me onto 60 liters of oxygen per minute. The average person will have about 6 liters per minute, maximum. Even on the 60 liters, I was still sitting at about 75%. So they got me from 45 to 75, but I needed to get into 94. And if they couldn't get me to 94, they weren't too sure exactly what the next steps were going to be. Was I going to be ventilated? Wasn't I going to be ventilated? Was I going to live? Was it going to turn completely? And thank God for the community who davened unbelievably for me. I mean, a lot of the prayers I felt and the drive, you know, made a huge difference. And I really feel that that was one of the main reasons I was able to pull through it. And at the same time, my wife said to me, God help you if you die. So I had to work it out.
So you were petrified.
What am I?
Yeah, exactly.
So I figured, well, let me make sure I don't, because I'd rather face my wife than God.
Right, because fear is a real motivator.
Yes, 100%. And so thank God I was able to pull through. But the problem was is that when I got out of hospital, my lung capacity was only sitting at 38%. So there was a lot of damage done by the pneumonia, and no one knew whether I'd be able to heal or not heal. And I couldn't really do anything. So I'd have to walk, to make my bed. I'd walk to the one side of the bed, do it, have a break for 2 minutes, and then walk to the other side. And it was important for me to always be active and to make sure I'm driving myself and pushing myself and say, great, let's go to the next level. Now, we use the example just now from a spiritual perspective to say gratitude. I could have turned around in that situation and said, geez, life's difficult, life's hard, life's this. Or I could turn around and say, wow, look how much I've got to be grateful for. I'm alive. I've got my family around me. I can still breathe. I can still do things. And at the beginning of COVID, I actually set myself a goal to turn around and say, I want to create a new business that I can turn around and say, this business was created during COVID. And I wanted to do that because many years ago, I read a book called Who Moved My Cheese? And the lesson that I got out of Who Moved My Cheese was that life is constantly adapting and constantly moving. So I started to envision and decide what it was that I wanted to do. And I started to create an online course called Soulful Money. And the idea behind Soulful Money was really to create a legacy for my children, that I could show them a roadmap of the fundamentals to wealth creation. But to focus on, again, on the three different aspects which we're sharing today, being practical, spiritual, and metaphysical. And the idea behind that is saying, as Jews, we sometimes forget the essence of how we create money from a spiritual perspective. We know how to do it from a practical perspective. But how do we now bring in the Torah to sometimes add an enhancement in terms of the wealth that we're busy creating? So that was goal number one.
I think very often what we do is we relegate money to the physical world and service to God to the spiritual world. So we've kind of separated them. What you're saying is they're actually intertwined.
Correct. 100%. 100%. I think we've just forgotten that. And it's understandable why. We haven't had maybe teachers that have focused on that. We've come from a lot of poverty in our past, from years of immigration, years of struggling, years of the Holocaust, you know, and so many other different inquisitions throughout our lifetime that we sort of lost the fundamentals. I want to try and bring those fundamentals back. And I want to, like I say, it's a gift to my children, but it's a gift that I want to share with the world.
Okay, incredible. Absolutely amazing. So how did you achieve this? What did you do?
Okay, great. So I then started to, I've never done online courses before. So I then tried to start mapping it out, and I had to go through so many different options. I had to do online courses. I spent a lot of money on a lot of courses, close to about 150,000 rand, just to try and understand what it is that I needed to do. And then halfway through the process, that's when I actually got COVID. So, I mean, at that point, I could turn around and say, geez, I'm going to either stop this process.
Just give it
all up. I'm going to get on with it. I said quite the contrary. I said, I've set myself this goal. Like, let's just get on with things. So I had to then, once I'd set the curriculum, I had to then interview a whole lot of different people. And I had to sometimes wait for myself to get strong enough to be able to get off the oxygen to start doing the interviews. I've interviewed a lot of people internationally and created different tools. I've created an online budgeting tool. I'm sorry, not an online. I've created a budgeting tool through an Excel spreadsheet that I want to please God bring online. And inside there, there's a money formula. We can talk about that during a different session. I know our time's a bit different. I've created a special tool on how to overcome debt. It shows you three different methods, one of the most amazing tools I've ever created. And I've created a tool that allows people to do their own investment planning. That's probably my most exciting tool that I've created because it allows any individual to do multiple different investment plans and gives you the fundamentals so you can understand how to invest, which is an exceptionally powerful tool because I do that with only about 10 input points and one being your name. So I had to sit down with different people to develop this software, which we did in Excel because obviously everybody can use Excel. Everyone's got access to Excel. And at the same time, I had to try and apply myself to say, how do I bring it down to the layman? So all of that's been done, and we're now hopefully next month going to start doing the last bit of filming. And I hope by May the whole course will be up and running. But, you know, most people would have turned around and said, geez, you know, I'm not going to push forward, or why should I push forward? I've had all these challenges. I'm tired. I'm all these different things. And I'm saying, well, what a great opportunity to show people what you can achieve, even if you're going to go through difficulties.
Do you think it was more so? I mean, do you think that drive to achieve something was even greater because you were actually fighting for your life at the same time?
Definitely. I had to
And it's about purpose, isn't it? Isn't
to live for.
You're right. Right. Isn't that man's search for meaning in essence is that when you've got a purpose, we survive things because we're focused on a goal that is actually greater than ourselves. And as you've said, it was about your children. It was about your wife. It was about, bringing this type of knowledge, which is an unique approach to the world that doesn't normally view it as such. So you actually found purpose outside of yourself.
Definitely. Definitely. And that was a big driver because without that, I wasn't sure. In other words, what's going to push me through all of this? What's going to make me hungry enough to make sure that I get well as quickly as possible, that I know I've got something to look forward to? What's going to excite me in life? And I think that also comes back to then a metaphysical point in terms of how do we prepare for 2021. And that's so important to, one, be positive. And I know that's sometimes hard, but you really have to push yourself through that. You know, sometimes it's easy for people to get lazy and say, oh, I can't, I'm negative, I'm not. But you have to turn around and make a choice. And it really is a choice. That you have to say, great, I want to be positive. And I think the most important thing, more than anything else, is make sure you set goals, exciting goals, something that you feel, wow, can walk away in December 2021, and I can say this is what I achieved for the year.
Liron, was there a time, was there a quintessential moment for you where you knew, even though you were desperately ill, that you had to make this choice, or did it come to you slower?
I think it came to me slower. I think that in the beginning, I've actually put a whole presentation that I go through with people, whoever's interested. I did do a presentation for Discovery. So I've put a whole presentation together where I discuss all these different experiences. I think that the most challenging part came right in the beginning because no one really understood what was going on. Besides the fact that I couldn't breathe, no one knew, well, am I going to live? Am I going to die? Am I going to be ventilated? Am I not going to be ventilated? So the first thing is worry. You panic. You completely panic because you can't breathe. You know, I'd speak to my wife and she'd say to me, you sound like an old man. You can barely get your breath. Now that's on 60 liters of oxygen. Mm. So the first thing is saying, well, what does that actually mean? Your head tries to get around that to say, how can it be that on 60 liters of oxygen, I still can't breathe. I still can't talk properly and I still can't breathe properly. And then I think that, at some point when you get over the biggest hurdle and you know that you start to see a bit of light at the end of the tunnel, then you've got to make that decision to say, okay, well, I've either been given a second choice, a second chance at life and a gift, and now I've got to really make sure I make the most of that. And that's when you start going inwards and saying, okay, well, what has worked? What hasn't worked? What do I need to change? What would I like to change? How do I go about changing it? And the hard part is then you also get into old habits as you get out of it. So I look back and I think, geez, I've gone into some of my old habits that I really wanted to try and get out of. The fact that I'm aware of it is a big thing.
Absolutely unbelievable. How are you feeling at the moment? We hear stories of long COVID, of slow recovery. Where are you at the moment?
So thank God my lung capacity is back to 80%. The average is between 80 to 120. Normally your yoga teachers have got the 120% lung capacity, which I think is quite unbelievable. I never even knew you could do a lung test that could go over 100.
Yeah, but, I wasn't aware of that either.
So thank God, yes, I can walk. I go walking in the morning and lately just because of the rain we haven't. The other day I was able to run up a hill and I was pretty tired afterwards. But the fact that I can start getting back to normality is huge. There are times when I still feel a bit tired. Like some afternoons, well, I have to take a bit of a nap, maybe 10 or 20 minutes.
Right.
But I allow for that. I'm saying that's where my body is. There is still a bit of scar tissue on my lungs. There's potential it'll take up to 2 years to heal, but unfortunately no one really knows because there's so many unanswered questions when it comes to COVID.
Absolutely. Liron Mazor chatting to us about his experience and how he planned during a time that he was critically ill, how to financially prepare for an unpredictable year. Absolutely fascinating. Thank you for taking the time to speak to us and for sharing your story with us.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.